Again, it's good to see you all here today. My name is Steve. I serve as the pastor at Edgewater Covenant Church, and it's my privilege to gather with you each Sunday to worship God, to sing and pray and hear his word, and then be sent back out into this amazing world that we get to be a part of. I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer this morning, and there's three specific things that I want us to pray for today. Obviously, locally, we have a lot of issues with fires in our state and all of the people that are associated with that, people that have lost their homes and businesses, first responders that are working out in this heat every single day to make it safe for all of us. We want to pray for the school season that has started up for some of our youth. Some of our kids have been in school for a while now. We want to pray for teachers and staff. Also, as God's people, it's really important for us to pray. This is the one-year anniversary of Charlottesville, where we saw some of the worst parts of humanity express themselves. And as the church, we want to be counter to that. We want to speak words of love and hope and peace and healing. And so we're going to pray for peace and calm on this day where people are gathering right now to protest in different ways, hopefully peacefully. And that's what we will pray for this morning. So will you join me? Father, you are great. And you are good. You created everything that we see and all that we cannot see. And amidst this vast universe, your design was to create humanity. You created us with creative impulse, with the ability to choose and make decisions. And so today, once again, I ask that you would speak into our hearts. What word would you have us hear today? What piece of your truth, what truth do you want to speak fresh into our hearts? God, our minds are drawn all over the map today, as they are most days. We think of those firefighters and others who are right now working out in this heat, day after day, hour after hour, fighting these fires all over. God, will you protect them? Will you be with those who are in the midst of this right now, who have lost their homes? Some of these areas, even though they are not populated very much, these are people that may not have very much to start with. Would you provide help? Would you bring hope? Would you allow people to heal, God? Heal your land. Lord, we pray for rain. Even if it's just a taste of rain, that conditions would improve and things would get better. We pray for our youth, our children who have already started school and some who are waiting to start school this week or perhaps next week. God, will you bless this upcoming year? Be with our teachers, our staff who are working hard every single day to educate this next generation. Lord, we pray that this experience will be positive this year for our students. Lord, as your church, we pray for this particular day, 1 year ago, where racism, injustice, hate, and all of those things that are opposed to your way and your will got a public viewing for many people. This is stuff that has not been far from the hearts of some people. Maybe it's been hidden for some, but it has resided in the hearts of humanity. Lord, your church is a group of people that are committed to you and your way to counter and speak against all that is not pleasing to you, God, and to do it in the way that you would want us to. May we each be hope, love, peace, and joy in these days. These troubled days where so often, if not for the church, who will speak? Who will speak for you, Lord? May you give us the courage to do so. May you give us the courage to stand for those who are poor and powerless, those who struggle to make it through each day. For you are the God of justice and mercy and we worship you this day as with every day. For you are the Holy One, and will you receive our prayers, receive our worship. We pray this now in the strong name of Jesus, the name above all names, who is victorious. Amen. Before we dive into the Psalms again, I want to share, I posted this on our church Facebook group after Tuesday, but this past Tuesday, I was so encouraged by signs of hope and all of the positive things that we were able to see at Small World Park through our participation in National Night Out. And it was so cool to be able to see hundreds of families there enjoying the best of Pittsburgh. And we're grateful to the police department for kind of sponsoring the event and for all the various people that came together. And I know Diane, Chris, and myself, we ended the night with probably sticky fingers from all the popsicles that we handed out. And on a hot day, there's nothing better than a nice popsicle. So those are the types of things that I think are really important for us as a church to continue to be a part of. It's interesting, there were lots of vendors there. As far as I know, we were the only church. And I want us to keep doing things like that. So I was really encouraged. Will you pray with me as we prepare to go to the Word? God, will you open our hearts, open our ears, make us mindful to what you would have us hear this morning. We give you thanks for your word, which is alive and active. May it be alive for us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those of you that have a few more years on other people, you don't get to answer. But who knows what is about this size? If you're younger, who knows what this is? Now you might know because you just said that your dad got a player that plays these.
It's a Laserdisc.
It might be a Laserdisc. Now this just happens to be, for those of you that are a little bit older, this is your pre-iPod. All right? This is the beauty of vinyl and this wonderful record. But there's something really interesting about whether you grew up in the era of records like this, or you grew up in the CD generation, or the post-CD, which is all digital generation, is that there's something annoying about every piece of music. And it's that usually when you have that favorite piece that you've played over and over, oh, I forgot one other era. The era of the mixtape for some of you who really understand what that means. But if you had a record that was your favorite, something would happen to it. Invariably, you would get, just like this one, there would be stuff that would get on it, and occasionally it would get scratched. If you had a CD, you're used to occasionally you'd be playing and there'd be a scratch that would develop on your CD and it would start to skip. If you have things, all of your music digitally, sometimes you have a file that gets corrupted and you can no longer really listen as you originally had the music. If you had a mixtape and you played it over and over and over, what would happen to mixtapes? They'd get kind of warped like that. And that's why we have that phrase, you sound like a broken record. So for those of you that have never happened to see a record before, it's ironic that you don't actually have to break the record to sound like a broken record. What does that phrase mean? You sound like a broken record. Yeah, you keep repeating yourself. And why do we use that phrase to describe repeating yourself? How did that phrase come to be? I'm going to just leave this here for now. That's what it sounds like on a record. For those of you that aren't familiar with record players, how do record players operate? You put the record on the player, and then what do you place on the record?
Needle.
You place a little needle. And every time that goes around, it plays whatever is in that little groove. And when you develop a scratch on your favorite record, what happens? Bloop. Yeah, it jumps back to that original place. And all of a sudden, especially if it's something that is not as agreeable, it just keeps repeating that same phrase. And you never get to hear what the rest of the song is like. Until you do what? Until you put a nickel on the needle. You can wait it. What would most people do, though? Well, if you're Peter, you'd buy a new record. Come on, work with me. Yeah, you move the needle. You lift it up, and you move it past the scratch, and then you get to hear what the rest of the song is. As you think about your life this morning, we have similar experiences. Some of you have areas of brokenness. You have scratches that aren't coming out of your life, and you're stuck on repeat at that point. What is that point of repeat for you? Now, you don't have to say it out loud. You can just think about it right now. What is the spot that keeps that needle of your life jumping back and you can't move past it, or you're unable to move past it? Maybe for some of you, it's that same destructive cycle that you know so well that it's like rinse, repeat, repeat, repeat every single day. Maybe it's the same lie that your mind keeps trying to tell you. Maybe it's an emotion or an action that you wish would just go away, or those competing voices that keep drawing you away from the life that God desires for you to live. If you're stuck in that repeat cycle, that is not the end of the story for you, or it does not have to be, which is why the Psalms are so important. I know that there are some of you here this morning, or people in your household that you know who are suffering in silence. Maybe you're hurting in some way, and you feel like you're on that endless loop. You're just repeating, almost Groundhog Day, a really bad day. And you can't imagine what life looks like beyond the point that has you stuck. I want you to close your eyes this morning, we can all do this, and simply hear the beautiful opening lines that this psalm writer wrote a long, long time ago. And it's simply this: sing a new song to the Lord. Sing a new song to the Lord. The writer understands that we have many songs in our life. Whether you can sing or not, you are living the song of your life. And yet you know that if there are things that have you trapped, that is something called the old song. That's not the song that God has designed for you to live the rest of your life. And no matter how familiar that part of the song is to you, no matter how warped or weird it may be, maybe it's comfortable to you by this point in your life, it's going to keep repeating until something comes along and lifts that needle for you. Psalm 98 is God's living word, his living words this morning that can feed your spirit, that can help you break the repeat cycle and inspire what the next verse of the song that God wants to give you. What is that new song for you? Let me read the rest of these opening verses. Actually, you can see, it's a little hard to see. This is just a picture of a new day dawning. This is kind of what a new song, I envision a new song can be for you. Yesterday was the past. Things that have come before you that you've done or left undone, they are yesterday. What is the new song, the new dawn that God has for you today? See, God invites you to live under his rule. When it says sing a new song, it doesn't say sing any old song. It says sing a new song to who? To the Lord. You're acknowledging, God, you are the ruler of my life, and I want to live like it. I want to live as if you rule every part of my life. And you know and I know that we rarely are able to do that every single moment. Just like when we sing songs on a Sunday morning, there's points for me, I know, that during the week, a phrase will just pop into my head and I'll find myself kind of humming it when I'm at home. Maybe you have similar songs like that for you. But when we sing a new song to the Lord, it sort of reorients us to what God desires for us as people in this world. Today, I want to offer one simple thought to help us pick up the needle, or to help pick up the needle. And it's just a phrase: what new song has God given to you? What new song does God want to give to you? For those of you that have already said yes to following Jesus, you're a part of God's family already, and you've been given a new song, and maybe you have to discover what it is that God has already given you. For those of you who do not yet know Jesus, there is something new that is waiting for you. It doesn't look like the old, but it's so much better than what you have right now. You are given a new song. This theme is something that I love, the theme of new song. In fact, we did a series earlier in the summer about why we sing, and we explored the actual act of singing and all of those kind of cool aspects of that. But this new song is not just about singing. We're not talking about necessarily physically singing, although you may be compelled to do that. Another way of saying that might be living the new life that God has given to you or wants to give to you. This new song is a theme throughout the Bible where God steps in some way. He intervenes. He works about his rescue for someone. And then the person responds in praise to God. One example is in Psalm 40, where King David, he is rescued by God. He experiences the care of God. And he says this: "He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God." And when we think about David, who we have all these stories in the Bible of David. In fact, he's a writer of many of the Psalms. And we think, oh man, he had it all. He had wealth and power and, you know. But he also had a lot of things that he did that were not good, not cool. He had a lot of enemies that came against him. And he had to learn how to rely on God to say, "I might be king of Israel, but you are my king." David knew that God had given something to him. Psalm 96 even repeats that phrase that we have in Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord. To who? The Lord. Now, this new song that God has given you or wants to give you isn't about you at all. It's not about how great or good you are. Although I'm sure you are great, and I'm sure you are mostly good. But it's about how great and good God already is and has been to you, whether you know it or not. This is a song that God gives us that directs us to respond back to him. It directs us upward as we praise him for all that he has done and all that he is doing and all that he will do in our lives and in this wonderful creation of his. When you sing that new song, you know what happens? You realize that it is God himself who lifts that needle for you and allows you to experience the rest of the song that he has prepared for you. For those of you that this morning are living in fear, perhaps your song or the next verse of your song is a melody of freedom, of release from the God who saves you. For those of you who are trapped by sin, perhaps your new song, a new verse of your song, is a harmony of receiving forgiveness from God. He is the God of mercy. For those of you that are stuck spinning in what seems like an endless loop of life right now, maybe you're struggling to think that God even has anything new for you. Maybe your mind is thinking right now, "I know God can't use me. I'm too broken. I'm too scratched. I'm too warped. No new song for me." If that is what is in your brain right now, or maybe not at this moment, maybe that's what's been in your thinking, you start to believe that you're defined by those moments that are embarrassing, those scratches that you're ashamed of that keep you stuck. And I would say this to you, my friends, don't believe that lie, because that's not how God created you to be. He created you to be in relationship with him, and he wants you, all of you. In fact, when we look at the Bible and we read all the various stories, God specifically chooses to use people who are broken, who don't fit the mold, who make mistakes. He rarely uses those people that seem kind of perfect. And even the ones that do make mistakes after God has said, I'm going to use you. Why do you think he does that? Why would God choose to use broken, scratched people and circumstances? So that we know it's God and not the person working, perhaps. There's a reason why in the church it's not healthy for us to have hero complexes. And often we have that with certain pastors or certain celebrity pastors. I don't even like the phrase. It's because people forget that everyone is human. And when we put all our hopes and our trust in a person, and then they fall, especially those in public circumstances. One of those churches has recently kind of come into the news. It's a danger when we're putting our trust in anything other than the Lord. You know, he wants us to use all that we have. And he says, it's because you're broken, because you make mistakes, that people will see the power of God in you. They will see me at work, that I am the one doing this and not you. And the reason, so that many may come to faith in God. We'll come back to Psalm 40 a little bit later on. Let me read the opening verses of this psalm, the rest of it. It starts out, sing a new song to the Lord. Why? For he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. The Lord has announced his victory and has revealed his righteousness to every nation. This psalm invites us to sing, invites us to praise. It reminds us the Lord has already won. Do you believe that? The Lord has already won. When we look out in the world, when we see people saying stupid things and doing worse things, does it seem like God has won? No, it doesn't seem like God has won. And yet we know that God has already won. He has defeated everything, sin, death, the devil. And he is about making things right in this world. We wish it would happen a lot sooner. And he says, nope, I'm going to use all of us, you broken people of mine, to bring about my plan to restore this world. God is already victorious. The end of the song is already written. We just are living it right now. Now, he has shown his saving power. Just as when this psalm was written, he had shown directly his saving power to the people of Israel. He had saved them numerous times. They had said, oh Lord, we want to follow you. And they did so. And then they screwed up. And then they'd be like, oh no, we need to follow the Lord again. You mean this isn't just a one-time deal? No, we do this over and over. And we keep returning to the Lord. We see God intervening in the lives of his people. He did it then, and he does it now. Some of you have shared amazing stories about how God has intervened in your life. I want to encourage you to continue to do that. Not just share it with me. Share it with your brothers and sisters. How is God at work in your life? How is he saving you and continuing to save you every single day? He's transforming what is incomplete into something that will be complete. All throughout this series, I've been showing some pictures that people have drawn, different pieces of art that have been inspired by the Psalms. And this is something that Peter mentioned is kind of leading us to our fall kickoff. This is a painting that represents this idea of singing a new song, and it was inspired by Psalm 98. Someone just decided to draw this, just a group of people raising their hands in praise, singing a new song. Verse 3. He has remembered his promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. You know, that's a promise that still stands for you if you believe in Jesus. You are part of Israel. And God has promised his love and to stay faithful to you and to us, even when we are not faithful and not loving. It blows my mind every time that I think about that, that God stays faithful even when we are not. I mean, we don't deserve it, and yet that's how he operates. That's his norm. The whole earth sees God's victory. And how does it respond? Read on the very next verse. This is how the whole earth responds. It says, shout to the Lord, all the earth, break out in praise and sing for joy. And right now, if you're thinking, well, I can't sing, it doesn't matter if you can actually sing or not. You can shout for joy to the Lord. Some of you are going, I'm doing it internally. Okay, that's fine too. This verse, verse 4, has inspired a lot of pieces of art. Here's another example of something with wood and paint that someone created as a result of this verse. Not just this verse, but a combination of a few verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. This is just a bunch of scrap wood that this guy had, and he decided he was inspired by the word of God, and he created something. As God's people, we can see the song that creation offers. You know, when we know that we're saved by God, when we remember specific things or times where he's acted in our life or the lives of people that we know, do you know that humankind is the only piece of God's creation that is forgetful? What do they say about the elephant? The elephant never forgets. Human beings are the only forgetful piece of God's creation that forgets that God has done all this for us. Every other piece of creation, animals, mountains, water, everything that we see and cannot see, praises God by its very existence. As humans, we can take things for granted. So I'm thankful that we actually have the living word, these words to remind us. Let me read on. Verse 5. It reminds us of ways that we can praise God. It says, sing your praise to the Lord with the harp. With the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. I like this phrase. This is the New Living Translation. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord. Reminding us who it is, the King. The one who we say yes to. I grew up on the shores of Lake Superior in Minnesota. It's the largest area freshwater lake in the world. It's so large that it feels like a small sea. And in November, it gets these really violent storms as the things shift from fall to wintertime. And I've never seen the waves get so big, but there's this one spot on the lake where the waves have pounded the cliffs so hard that it's actually created this bowl of rock. It's sort of like eroded the rock away, and it's this nice bowl. And when you go stand on the top of it in that time when the waves are biggest, it's cold, and those waves hit that, and it just is this loudest sound. I'm going to mute myself for time the waves hit that rock. It's this gigantic sound, and I got to be honest, it's terrifying. You get close, and the waves sound like thunder. A few weeks ago when we traveled down the coast and we drove along the Big Sur coast, those of you that have done that drive know it, there's these massive cliffs, and the waves are so similar. They hit the bottom, and it's just this giant thunder crashing sound, and it's a little terrifying. And then I read these words, "Let the sea and everything in it shout his praise." Those waves, that sound that we hear that might be terrifying to us, that is the waves' song of praise to God. Doing what God created water to do, at least one part. "Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord." Creation knows how to praise the Lord. Creation does praise God all the time. When you leave this space in a few moments and you see all of creation, observe how it naturally praises God. How can we praise God? Now, maybe you're not a very exuberant person. Maybe you're not a hand clapper. And you can praise God in different ways. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. The crash of the sea, it's not just a loud noise. It's a song of praise. Rivers kind of babbling down the rocks, it's not just kind of a cool experience. It's a song of praise to the Lord. When you sing or shout in the hills and you hear that echo is a song of praise to the Lord. When you see a rock fall, it might be terrifying. It's a song of praise to the Lord. I found two other pieces of art that were inspired by this psalm. The first was directly related to those verses, someone who kind of drew what these verses looked like to them. The one on the right side was done by an artist who she likes to use mixed media. So some of you that have experience with scrapbooking or various using different styles of paper and different things. So she constructed this based on Psalm 98, a version of her song of praise to the Lord. Natural creation responds in praise. Humanity should respond in praise. But you know that we need reminding to do this. Just like we need reminding to be thankful for all that we have received. Because the pressure of life comes in at you, the stresses of your week, you're spinning around like that record on repeat, and we forget. We're forgetful. Why do we need to sing this new song that God offers to us? We've already said that he's won the victory. Okay, that should be at least one part of it. We know that he delivers us from sin, and he continues to redeem our life. Okay, that should be part of it. We know that all creation responds in praise to God. That should be a part of it. But perhaps you aren't yet convinced that it's necessary for you to sing the new song that God has given you or wants to give to you. Then the conclusion of this psalm should provide just enough extra little momentum to really believe that it's necessary. Verse 9, "For the Lord is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness. On that day, all will stand before God. In fact, all will kneel before God. Whether they believe in him or not. It's not presented as an option. All creation will respond to God on that day. As God's people, we have a responsibility to praise the Lord with our new song. Why? Because the deliverance of this world is at stake. The deliverance of real people, real lives is at stake. When you sing a new song from the Lord, we'll come back to Psalm 40 now. One of the reasons it says is, many will see what God has done and be amazed. When you sing a new song, the one that God has given you, many will see what God has done in you and be amazed. When I saw some of the people that knew me when I was 18 years old, and then it came out that I was a pastor now, they're like, really? You mean your mouth has changed that much? Well, mostly, yeah. Even more than that, they will put their trust in the Lord. When people can see you change, it inspires them that it's possible for them. Psalm 40 ends with how you can sing this new song right now. Keep searching for the Lord. He will fill you with joy and gladness. Love the salvation you receive from the Lord and respond with this simple praise. The Lord is great. Is the Lord great?
Yes, he is.
Is the Lord good?
Yes, he is.
Is he both great and good?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's all-powerful and he's all-merciful. I wanted to share one final piece of art with you this morning. This was a painting created by a woman. Her name is Joan Spaugh. This is her representation of singing a new song. And I want this picture, I know it's a little bit hard for you to see this morning. She kind of went with an abstract type of painting. I want you to take a look at this picture and to use it to inspire you as you think about what is the new song that God has given you to sing. Maybe you're inspired to create something like that. Maybe you're inspired to deal with that person in your life. But if you feel stuck today and you're in that repeat loop of that same old song, as we pray in a minute, I want you to pray that the Lord would lift the needle for you to break the cycle, to help you remember what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. On the back of your bulletin, I listed three simple questions that can kind of guide your thought, guide your questions, your conversations, as you think deeply about the new song. The first one is kind of related to your past. How have you experienced victory in the context of the Lord? What victories have you experienced? Think about that from the sense of your past. And then the middle one is kind of your past and your present. Where is the Lord already at work in you? For those of you that have created art, you know that art is kind of a work in progress, and you never really kind of get done. You get to the point where you're like, okay, I'm going to offer this now. You're kind of like that piece of art that God is creating. He's not quite done with you, but you're somewhere in process. Where is the Lord already at work in you? And then the final question is kind of today and tomorrow, present and future. What new song is God waiting to give to you? What new verse is going to be the next one that you're able to sing in your life? When you have an answer, I don't want you to stop there. Because when you know that new song that God has given to you, what should we do? We respond in praise to our Lord. We say, thank you, God. Hallelujah. I am not stuck. I don't have to remain stuck in the cycle that I've been in for a long time. May God give you the ability to live that new song. Let's pray. God, we give you our thanks and praise this morning. We thank you so much that you are not done with us, that you never stop your renewing, redeeming work. For those who have already said, yes, I believe in you, I want to follow you, Jesus, we give you thanks. And we ask you, don't quit on us. Stay true to your promise to love and be faithful to us. Help us to be that for you. For those who have not yet said yes, maybe they're just not convinced. God, will your Spirit speak a word of truth? May they see how you have been at work in their life. Give them a victory this week. God, we praise you. We sing the new song of praise that you have given to us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I'm really glad that music continues to evolve from albums like this, the best of praise strings, to what we get the chance to sing today. And, you know, it keeps speaking to new generations of people throughout humanity. I want to share how this new song ends. Listen to these words from Revelation 5. John records the words of the new song he heard, and he says, "And then I heard every creature in heaven saying, and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And it says, "All fell down and worshiped the Lamb." What will your new song of praise sound like? My brothers and sisters, go blessed by God and in his power today and always. Amen.